Welcome to Speak Up, Speak Out, progressive voices from around the valley and around the nation, conversing about issues important to our community. Welcome to Speak Up, Speak Out. I'm Jim. Today we hear a speech by Anthony Chavez of the Cesar Chavez Foundation. He was recently in Bellingham, Washington to speak at a program by Community to Community honoring his grandfather, civil rights leader Cesar Chavez, on what would have been his 83rd birthday. Anthony makes reference to slides being shown during his speech. Rosalinda Guillen, Executive Director of Community to Community, introduces Anthony.
I want to introduce Anthony Chavez, the oldest son of Paul Chavez, Caesar's son, and it is a great honor for me to have him here with me today in our home. I've known Anthony for a while. It's a pleasure to have him here. I feel like he's like my son, my little brother. And it's wonderful, and I'm really happy that he's here and that you're all here to welcome him. It truly is you coming into the community-to-community home, the UFW home, and listening to part of Cesar Chavez and Anthony and all our great friends at the UFW. Anthony, we're very happy to have you here. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. How are we doing? I want to begin by, first of all, thanking Rosalinda and her group, community-to-community, and of course, everyone here in Bellingham for taking some time out of their day, out of their busy lives to spend this evening with us here as we take some time to learn about who Cesar Chavez was and who the farm workers were and how we could continue to live in the legacy and in the spirit of the farm workers. So I'm sure a lot of you have probably seen these words up here on the screen, right? Si se puede, yes we can. And it's great because people hear these words used in soccer games, they hear them in movies, in books. I found out when I was with the children in the Bay Area of California that even SpongeBob, Dora the Explorer, and Bob the Builder all wake up our youth in the morning with the right spirit and the right attitude of si se puede, yes we can. And so it's really nice whenever I get a chance to enter so many new communities and I hear them chanting si se puede, yes we can, because that makes me right at home. And that's how I grew up. But I don't think everybody always knows the history of where those words came from. During the 1970s, when my grandfather was trying to organize the farm workers in Arizona, things were very difficult, and there was very little hope. And the farm workers kept on saying that the growers are too rich, they're too powerful, they have too many friends elected into high places in office. And so they kept on telling my grandfather, no se puede, no se puede. And my grandfather looked at them and he reminded them very simply. And he said, si se puede, yes we can. And so it's great because even more recently we saw President Barack Obama running around the country chanting these words of yes we can. He was doing that to pay tribute to his icon, Cesar Chavez. And yesterday my family had a chance to be with President Obama and his staff. And so they were able to get a chance to sit down with President Barack Obama and talk with him about how we all can continue to live on in the legacy of Cesar Chavez and the farm workers. And in living on in that legacy, I was very proud because right at 5 o'clock Eastern time, the UFW sent out on their listserv, which you can sign up onto at ufw.org, they sent out a petition reminding everyone to remind the president that we still need comprehensive immigration reform. We need to recognize that when we go around talking about ourselves as Americans and we go out into the world talking about America and democracy and self-determination, we need to realize that the lifestyles that we live here in the United States of America, it affects our fellow brothers and sisters who live in Central and Southern America and who refer to themselves as Americanos, as Americans. So we need to realize that when we're using our language, we're using it in a very inclusive way as we choose to identify ourselves around the world. And so we need to make sure that as we go about living our lives, we live our lives in those inclusive ways. I think it's great because community to community is really doing that. They're reminding us to spark up the conversation about where our food comes from. And reminding people, most importantly, that organic's great, local's beautiful, but it doesn't mean anything if it isn't done with fair trade values in mind. I'm really happy with all the wonderful work that Rosalinda and her group and that all of you as supporters are helping her to accomplish. I think you guys are really continuing to live on in the legacy of the farm workers and in their struggles and making sure that We don't go on being apathetic. And so this was the place where I really got a chance to learn about the lessons of Si Se Puede, when I was marching and picketing and showing up to political rallies with the spare time that I had growing up. But before we go on to talk about Cesar Chavez and the farm workers, I think the way that we connect to the farm workers into the fields is through our meals and at the dinner table. And so it's important that as we're sitting down and we're having this meal tonight and every night with our friends and our families and with people that we've never met, it's important that we have this conversation of where does our food come from? Because I think we take it for granted when we could show up 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, rain, snow or shine, any season of the year, and we could just grab and take, grab and take, grab and take. And all we think about is my hunger, my needs, grab and take, for me, mine. And we forget to think about all the hard work that the farm workers are doing in the fields for us. And we forget about all the backbreaking labor that they do that makes all of our lives right here so much easier. And so I think what my grandfather's work was really about was about reminding us that if we have food, we need to thank a farm worker. And it's very simple, because living this life of gratitude, of appreciation, one learns to live mindfully. One learns to live with consideration and with greater compassion. That's ultimately what my grandfather's work was about. It was about telling Americans to wake up and to realize that the choices they make affect so many neighbors who also call themselves Americans. My grandfather and their family grew up in the small town of Yuma, Arizona, on the borders of California, Arizona, and Mexico. But our family history in the Southwest goes back to a time before there was even lines or maps. We have family oral history about relatives who witnessed things like the OK Corral, about family members who drove the Wells Fargo stagecoach wagons that we only recognize now from the logo on our banks. And so it's kind of funny when you hear these stories from some of our fellow ignorant Americans who say things like, go back to where you came from. And they forget to acknowledge the history of this country, and that it was a country that was built on the backs of immigrant laborers, and that all of the benefits that we reap in living in the society comes from the hard work that so many immigrants continue to do to this day. And so growing up this life as a young man, living as a young farm worker child in Arizona, and then eventually losing their family farm during the Great Depression, my grandfather and their family began traveling all over California in what is known as the circuit, going from one region to the next, going from one little microclimate to the next, from the valley to the coast, working the jobs for the season, for the harvest, making ends meet, doing the hard work just to get food in their stomach, some clothes on their back, and a roof over their head. But living this life, my grandfather saw things and experienced things like child labor. He saw little kids working in the fields, carrying bundles of cotton, bags of potatoes that sometimes weighed half as much as they did. He saw his parents and so many other parents doing the backbreaking work with the short-handled hoe, and working so long in these conditions that they couldn't even bend over to pick up their children after they got done scoring a goal, graduating, or whatever it may have been. And so my grandfather knew that the farm workers, who had always been some of the most respected people, going right back to the beginnings of civilization, he knew that these people were being treated inhumanely, they were being exploited, and that it was injustice. And one of the things that we see here in this picture is a picture of a plane flying overhead. And what you can't see are all the deadly poisons, chemicals, and toxins that they're spraying on these farm workers and on all the food that we eat. And again, we forget because we probably never get a chance to spend a lot of time with farm workers. And we forget about the 8, 10, 12 hours of hard labor that they do, making sometimes just around minimum wage, and then trying to support a family. And we forget that living under those kinds of conditions, that the farm workers can't get too far away from the fields, and that they continue to live on the edge of the fields, and that they live in shanty little homes. and that they live out of the back of their cars, and that these farm workers, again, who do all the hard work to make sure that so many of us are fed and well taken care of, so many of these farm worker families don't even have enough money to feed their own children. And so that's what my grandfather used to call the tragic irony that resides here in our American society, is the fact that these people feed so many here in America, and they really do enough work to feed the entire world. And it's like Gandhi taught my grandfather and so many others. There's enough for everybody's needs, just not enough for everybody's wants. And so it's unfortunate that because of our petty politics, we haven't figured out a way to end world hunger. Not too long ago, I was in Los Angeles with the World March for Peace and Nonviolence. Started in Australia, went through Asia, Africa, Europe, eventually to North America. And as I joined them in Los Angeles, marching down the streets, chanting, "Si se puede," yes we can, to end wars in the world, to end nuclear proliferation, to end world hunger, I was excited because I knew that these people were going all around the world, encouraging so many others just like themselves, that by working together, by making sure that we learn how to work for one another, we can accomplish great goals. And so it was beautiful because these marchers were on their way down into Mexico. They were on their way into Central America. They were on their way into Southern America. And again, they were there to greet them with a chant of "Si se puede," yes we can. We can make an America for all Americans. We can make a world for all people. But going back to my grandfather's history, living this life as a migrant farm worker, growing up on the circuit, there came to a point where after the eighth grade, my grandfather had to drop out of school. And he had to do this so that he could go out and support the family. And I think it's important to note that even though my grandfather dropped out of school in the eighth grade, this is a picture of his office as he left it on the day he died. And we could only begin to see that from floor to ceiling, he had books and books and books in his office. It was a library. He read autobiographies, history, the classics and literature, arts and crafts, organic gardening, accounting, business management, direct marketing. And by exposing himself to people like Gandhi, which he dedicated a whole shelf in his library to, and to people like Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement in the South, my grandfather was able to extend himself to people, to ideas, to places that the farm workers might not ever be able to go. And by building his base so wide for the farm workers, he was able to help them and their struggles go to a point that nobody had ever dreamed was possible in the 100 years before Cesar Chavez. And so again, I think it's important that we find ways to go out there and to empower ourselves through our education and through our extracurricular activities or through our volunteerism opportunities, because every day, every moment is an opportunity to learn something new and to take that wisdom, to take that knowledge, and to share it with others. And it's like my grandfather taught all the students, and like I reminded myself every day as I drove to college, and I saw the farm workers working in the fields as I enjoyed the luxuries of driving in a car by myself, going to college. I reminded myself every day that, like my grandfather said, the end of all education should surely be service to others. Because as young people, it would be a waste if we let all the knowledge, all the insight, all the wisdom, all the experience of our parents, our teachers, and our elders come to us and then stop with just us. That would be a waste.
You are listening to Speak Up, Speak Out. Anthony Chavez, a grandson of civil rights leader Cesar Chavez, talks about his grandfather.
As I went through my college studies in religion, I found out that the word tradition means a passing on. It's not a clinging to the past, because any time we cling at the past, something manages to slip through our fingers, or we hold it so tightly that nothing gets in or gets out. And so instead, the way we pass on the tradition, the legacy of the farm workers, is by going back and collecting their history, remembering it, and passing it on to our youth leaders of today, and making sure that they take that wisdom, that knowledge, and those experiences, and transform it for all the problems and the issues that we're facing together. As I've been going around the world, I found out that me and my young companions here, have been called Generation Fix. And that's because everyone else around us is looking to us young people with abundant energy, with unlimited creativity, to go out and to solve the problems that we all still continue to face in this state, in this country, and in our world. And so again, I want to remind all the young people and all the young people of heart, because being old is just a mind state. And I want to remind you all that, again, every day is an opportunity to learn something new and to share that with others, and to make sure that the wisdom and the compassion doesn't end with ourselves. We have to make sure that we pass on the blessings that we've all received in our lives. And I know that we've all received many blessings in our lives. Growing up as a young man, working in the fields to help support the family, it came to a point in my grandfather's life where he wanted to get out and see something different, try something new. And so he signed up with the Navy right after World War II. And he went, served his time for our country, and returned back safely, and eventually met my grandmother, Helen. And they began to start their family. And eventually that turned into 8 children. And eventually, as they started forming their new family, one of the first jobs that my grandfather had, where he didn't have to worry about making ends meet at the end of the month, was working as a community organizer. And it was a community organizer just like our President Barack Obama once was. And he realized that by working at the grassroots level, that's where you create real strength and real power that doesn't allow you to be moved. And it's really beautifully stated in the name of this organization. It was known as a community service organization. And this was a prominent Latino civil rights group that worked for mainly working class families and helped them to get out there and to register to vote, to show up to PTA meetings, and to get them to take a stand and to take a charge of their lives and their communities. But I think this is also where a lot came together for my grandfather. And he realized, like it says so simply in the name of the organization, he realized that the way you go out and you discover community is by talking with people and by sharing with them and by listening to them and listening to their stories. But listening to more than just the words. Listening to where those words are coming from and where they're going, so that you know how to better accompany your brother or your sister to make sure that you both arrive at the same place, healthy and safe and doing well. And it's great because through our talking, through our sharing, right back to that elementary lesson we all learned in kindergarten, sharing is caring, right? Sharing our time, sharing our energy, sharing our resources, and sharing a bit of ourselves. By doing so, when we start to talk with others, we start to find these common bonds, our common unities, and ultimately what makes our communities. And as we talk about our communities, as we share, as we ask questions, we show our concern, we show our care, and we begin to talk about the issues, the problems, and the dilemmas that we still continue to face. And in doing so, we've already taken the first step at organizing ourselves, making ourselves aware of the issues we all face. And understanding that by talking together, what my grandfather called organizing, this simple but very hard task of talking to ordinary people and helping them to do the extraordinary things that we're all capable of, he realized that you can organize yourselves and that you can work for the betterment of all families, not just your family, not just your block, but your entire neighborhood, your entire community, your entire city, your entire state, your entire country, and eventually the entire world. And so with this newfound inspiration, with these newfound skills, my grandfather realized that something had to be done for the farm workers. That was his experience as a young man. And he never wanted anyone to face that experience growing up. And it was the same way that Martin Luther King Jr. experienced racism in the South. And growing up as a young man, he spent the rest of his life ensuring that no others would have to experience that same bigotry, that same racism that he experienced as he sat with his father in the car. What a lot of us know my grandfather for is going out and doing the impossible. He went out and he organized against 100 years of history with people with better educations, better resources, and people who frankly weren't brown or who weren't farm workers. He went out there and he challenged everybody and he reminded them that Together we can accomplish great things. And he taught them the true spirit of si se puede and of yes we can. And it's important to remember that my grandfather was only someone who helped to bring the vision that so many of us had already held in our hearts. My grandfather didn't do this work alone. He did it with the help of countless people that we'll never get a chance to read about in history books. And those are the real heroes. People like our parents and our grandparents, our teachers, and our community elders, who teach us what it really means to be in community and to really use your life to be of service to others.
Anthony Chavez shows a short video about his grandfather, which demonstrates the passion brought out during the UFW strikes.
And so I show that because I want to remind you that within each and every one of us, we have those same passions and those same desires for justice and for respect and for dignity, which all human beings deserve. And that's what my grandfather's work was about. It was about helping people to realize that workers' rights are civil rights, and civil rights are really human rights. And you would say that it's not about lettuce or grapes. It's about the people who break their backs and who shorten their lives to pick those lettuce and grapes that we all pick from our grocery markets and that we take for granted. Some of my grandfather's heroes were people like Gandhi, right, who I mentioned he had dedicated a whole bookshelf to. People like Martin Luther King Jr., people like the Kennedy brothers and the Kennedy family. And from these people, he learned about things like the boycott. He learned about the boycott from Gandhi in 1930 with the Salt March, which eventually turned into Indian independence. He saw the boycott in action in the South during the Civil Rights Movement with the Montgomery bus boycott. And so my grandfather brought the boycott out to the Southwest. And this was the first time that the boycott had ever been used in a labor dispute. And he did this to show Americans that with their simple choice of choosing not to purchase grapes or lettuce or whatever the product was, that they could send a message. And so it's great because I think we're finally realizing by going out and by purchasing reusable bags and by going out and trying to be conscientious consumers who want to eat organic and who want to eat local. My grandfather was already telling people long ago that where you put your money, where you put your interest, where you put your focus can make a change. And so that's what I want to remind you is that every dollar we spend every day is like a vote. Because at the end of the day, that money is going to go with our little special interest, with our little corporation, right back to our capital, right back to Washington, D.C., and they're going to lobby for what they think they need, or for what they deserve. And also from these people, he learned about the importance of getting involved in this political process we call our democracy. And by getting out there and exercising our freedoms, to really discover what it means to be liberated. And so he organized people to march, to strike, and to rally, and to get involved in political campaigns. But one of the last things that he learned from one of his heroes was something called fasting. And he learned this from Gandhi. And my grandfather would choose to go without food because he wanted to show everyone just how dedicated he was to ensuring that all of his work went to benefiting the farm workers. It was never about me, the little Caesar, and my family. It was always about we, us, and together, the farm workers, working for worker rights, working for civil rights, working for human rights. But eventually, after doing this work tirelessly, day in and day out, after about 25 years, my grandfather passed away in his sleep. And when he passed away, 40,000 people showed up to this funeral in a small little dusty town of Delano, and about doubled the size of the population for a couple days. I was only a young boy. And so what happened right when I got back to school was there was a tree planted in my grandfather's honor. And then there started to be streets and parks and statues and libraries. They gave my grandmother this Medal of Freedom from the White House. They put my grandfather in magazines and in books. They eventually made the U.S. postage stamp. And then these holidays started to be created in I think 11 states it is now. What we realized as a family, as holidays were being created, we realized that we didn't want this to be a day off. We didn't want this to be a day where our children stayed at home, slept in, vegged out, played a little bit of Xbox, surfed the web, whatever it is they do. We decided that we wanted to make this a day on. And we wanted to make this a day about service and a day about learning. Taking the time to learn about who Cesar Chavez was, who were his heroes, and how can we continue to go out and to live in the legacy of Cesar Chavez and of his heroes. People like Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., people who taught us that there is true unity to be found in our diversity, and that we need to go out and we need to learn how to celebrate all of our differences. Because that's what true individualism is about. It's about taking our unique perspective of reality and sharing that for the benefit of everyone. Our country has gone off on this very individualistic streak of me, 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 mine, 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 mine. And now we realize that that doesn't work because we live in community. We share the same marketplace. We are this body politic. And so it's important that we teach our young people as they're coming up and they're becoming our future leaders, as they're really embodying Generation Fix. It's important that we prepare them to be more than just imitators. It's important that we teach them how to be leaders and how to take initiative. In service learning and going out and by giving ourselves to others ensures that we learn how to question, that we learn how to take the role of leader, and that we learn how to include everyone's voices in making sure that we work for a school, for a community, for a state, for a country, and for a world that includes everyone. And so that's why I'm here today, is because I want to encourage you guys to go out and to continue being Si Se Puede community, and to go out and to remind people that it's important that we educate our hearts. Because whenever we want to speak about the whole person, we speak to the heart. And so it's important that we remember that it's more than just being able to grab facts. It's about being able to leave ourselves open to the situation and to the opportunities all around us so that we can be seized, so that we can be grasped by true wisdom, by true inspiration, and so that that can put wind in our sails and allow us to go on and to continue the great work that Cesar Chavez started and that he never would have accomplished without people like yourselves, people that are here today that say we care about people, that we care about people's rights, that we care about their dignity, and that we want to make sure that they're honored and that they're respected by ensuring that they have a decent pay, by ensuring that they have decent benefits. And now we don't have to worry about them having health care. Thank goodness we finally passed that. But now we need to make sure that we make an America for all Americans. And so that's why it's important that we continue to focus on immigration reform and we don't let this opportunity pass up. And so that's what you guys are here for, to make sure that we can include everyone and that we could really make an America for all Americans. So again, I just want to thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to share a bit of my personal history and really a history that I think belongs to all of us here and a history that all of us can continue. I just want to remind you, si se puede, yes we can. Thank you very much.
That was Anthony Chavez, grandson of Cesar Chavez, talking about his grandfather.
Join us each week for Speak Up, Speak Out. Archives are at speakupspeakoutradio.org. Theme music courtesy of Kurt Crandall. Until next time, seek peace, work for justice, celebrate diversity, and support your neighbors.
This program was produced in the studios of KSVR-FM by the Speak Up, Speak Out Collective. Distribution was made possible in part by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.